Jefferson called Detective David Cole of Kingsport Police Department, and he identified himself as being the robber. "I couldn't take it anymore," Jefferson said in an interview. "I was sick and tired of the way I was living. I didn't want to live in a crack house. I didn't want to smoke crack anymore." After pleading guilty, Jefferson served a 6-year sentence, and upon his release, he tried several times to return to the Krispy Kreme store and repay the money he had stolen. But he kept turning around before he got there. And finally, Jefferson called David Cole and asked him to accompany him to the store. And though he had stolen $300, he returned $400 to the robbery victim, who then was asking to donate the money to St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. And guess what the testimony was of Jefferson? He said, "I felt like $1 million when I walked out of that place." You know what? It does indeed make a huge difference when one acknowledges their wrongdoing and seeks to make things right. And so on this fifth Sunday of Lent, we're looking at Psalm 51, verses 1 to 13, where we find David turning to the Lord when inner cleansing was needed. We do have a guest speaker this morning, and in order to give him adequate time today, I'm going to do more of a mini message, not as preaching as long as I normally do. But here we are, Psalm 51, verses 1 to 13. "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones that you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you." Now, what had taken place in David's life that necessitated cleansing and restoration? Well, it wasn't ripping off a Krispy Kreme donut shop, but it was ripping off somebody's wife and then trying to keep it hidden by arranging for the woman's husband to get killed in the front lines of battle. We read in 2 Samuel chapter 2 how that one evening David had gotten up, walked out on the roof of the king's house, and from there he saw a beautiful woman that was bathing. And he not only inquired about the woman, but sent for her and got her pregnant. And yes, he knew that she was married. And it wasn't just getting Bathsheba pregnant that was the problem. King David then issued an order that resulted in Bathsheba's husband Uriah being placed in the front lines of the battle, and then by design having others retreat so that he is indeed going to get killed, which is exactly what happened. But then in 2 Samuel chapter 12, we read about the Lord then sending an individual. It was a man by the name of Nathan, sending an individual to confront David regarding his secret escapades. And so in verse 13 of that chapter it says, "So David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord." Now, in the psalm we're looking at this morning, we find that David is actually then dealing with the situation. He's doing so by turning to the Lord for cleansing. What do we see that was involved here? What are the life lessons that we ought to be taking away from this entire experience of David? What did he do, and what are the implications for people today that are confronted by the reality of sin, whether that confrontation is from somebody else, another person, or whether it's the Holy Spirit that is confronting us? Well, first of all, there is the awareness of need. The awareness of need. And that, in spiritual terms, we often refer to as conviction. Conviction. Now, Jesus, at one point, was talking about the coming of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said he needed to leave and the Holy Spirit would come. And that the Spirit, when he has come, will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. It's in John 16, verse 8. But here we have David under conviction regarding his sexual immorality and his plot to get rid of someone. David was aware of his need, and so that's why he said here in verse 2, "Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." And by the way, there's a difference between an individual being sorry that they are caught for their wrongdoing and an individual being truly sorry for the wrongdoing. The Bible says that godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation. Godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world results in death. 2 Corinthians 7:10. So, conviction really is a good thing in that it involves, or it moves us along in this entire process of seeking then the cleansing that God is wanting to do in our hearts and in our lives, in our inner being. Secondly, as we look at our text here, we see the acknowledgement of wrongdoing. The acknowledgement of wrongdoing. And we would refer to that then as confession. Confession. Notice David's confession here in verses 3 and 4. "I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. John Jefferson called the police department to identify himself as being the robber of that Krispy Kreme store, he was making a confession. And did you notice he was absolutely miserable until he took that step? There are times when you and I may be miserable in that we recognize the need of dealing with something that was or is wrong in God's sight. And if that's the case, we're encouraged, then nudged to move along in that process. The Bible says that he who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. That's in Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13. And then in 1 John 1, verse 9, one of the verses that we had in the children's lesson, it's a wonderful promise. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Is there a transgression that you need to acknowledge or something that you need to bring before the Lord? If so, please know that's actually meant to bring you to the place of freedom, to liberate you, and to have you walk about as a clean person, the person clean on the inside. The third thing here in our scripture this morning, there is the seeking of restoration. the seeking of restoration. And that process whereby that happens involves a spiritual cleansing. Spiritual cleansing. You know, we can do all sorts of things on the outside. We can do all sorts of things. Get our hair done, buy a new outfit, polish our shoes, brush our teeth, whatever. But none of that gets to the heart of the matter, because only the Lord can do that work on the inside. Only He can clean up this gunk that we have allowed to collect in our hearts. So only He can cleanse a person on the inside, and that's why David said what he did here in verses 7 to 10. He said, "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." And by the way, in verse 12, David had said, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit." What was John Jefferson's experience after he made the wrong right, after he acknowledged his sin, and after he went back and gave the money back, made restitution? He said, "I felt like $1 million when I walked out of that place." What does our text declare to be the experience of a person that acknowledges their sin and receives cleansing from the Lord? Well, they have the joy of the Lord back in their life. They again feel like $1 million. That's what God wants to do, is He wants us to have the joy, His joy, the joy of the Lord. A part of what takes place when there is an inner cleansing is that a person again becomes spiritually fruitful. Did you notice what David said here after the entire matter of being restored and after being upheld by God's Spirit? He said in verse 13, "Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you." Cleansing from the Lord does something wonderful. It opens up the channel of blessing. It makes it possible for God to again work through an individual to accomplish His good plan and purposes. If you have need of turning to the Lord for cleansing, then please do so, that you might experience all that God has intended for you to experience and has saved you for. Let's pray, and then we'll sing a song of response here. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your magnificent ways. We thank You for Your grace and mercy. We thank You for Your Holy Spirit, which works, which convicts and guides us into all truth. We thank You this morning that You have a wonderful future and a hope for us. Lord, please continue to work in our lives. Please continue to meet the needs of all of us and our church, so that healing and hope can flow to those around us that so desperately need Jesus, may not even understand the implications of their lostness. Lord, we desire to be fruitful unto You. So please continue to work, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.